You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Christian churches around the world, especially in the Northern Hemisphere, on Monday celebrate the start of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. During the annual eight-day period, churches and communities hold joint worship services, share Bible studies and other encounters aimed at promoting greater understanding and closer cooperation between members of the different denominations. The theme for this year's celebration, which is jointly published by the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity and the World Council of Churches Commission on Faith and Order, is drawn from the first letter of Peter, called to proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord. The resources available on both the Vatican and WCC websites have been prepared by Christians in Latvia, in the past a religious and political battleground for different national and confessional powers, but today a crossroads where Catholics, Lutherans and Orthodox work and pray together. Here in Rome, Pope Francis will lead Vespers with members of other Christian churches next Monday in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, an important ecumenical celebration during this Jubilee Year of Mercy. To find out more about what's on the ecumenical agenda over the coming year, I spoke with Cardinal Kurt Koch, President of the Council for Christian Unity.
The main event that we have in the ecumenical level of this Jubilee of Mercy is the Vespers on the end of the Week of Prayers. This is the main event, but I have heard that in some countries they have common commemoration of mercy and will commemorate this Jubilee of Mercy in an ecumenical level. And I find this is a very beautiful event.
This is going to be a very important year, isn't it, for ecumenical relations, beginning with the Lutherans and Catholics who are preparing to mark together the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You've just released here at the Council, together with the World Lutheran Federation, some common liturgical guidelines, haven't you?
Yes. First of all, we have published a document, From Conflict to Communion, and way which we can commemorate the beginning of the Reformation together. And then we have planned and now published liturgical elements of the basis of this document, how we can commemorate, to celebrate the commemoration of the Reformation together between Lutheran and Catholics. And then we are preparing and planning the liturgical encounter between Lutheran and Catholics of worldwide level that will happen on the end in October in Lund in Sweden as the birthplace of the Lutheran World Federation.
Can you tell us a bit more about your hopes, your expectations for this event?
It's very beautiful that the Lutheran has said at the beginning, not Lutheran will invite the Catholics, but Lutheran and Catholics together will invite the other churches and the other communities. And I hope that this event in Lund can be a beautiful step for deepening the way to the full unity between Lutheran and Catholics.
For many Catholics, though, the Reformation remains a historical period of conflict and division, doesn't it? How can you perhaps encourage people to help see this as a celebration of our common faith?
First of all, we must take in serious the history. After the Reformation, we have the split of the Church, and we have horrible wars in Europe. First of all, the 30 Years' War in Europe has transformed Europe in a Red Sea. And we cannot deny this history. In this sense, we must do repentance, penitence. But we have not only this. We have now 50 years of dialogue between Lutherans and Catholics. And in these 50 years, we have discovered what we had in common between Lutheran and Catholics, and in this sense we must have also thanksgiving for all we had new seen, reviewed between the Lutherans and Catholics. And the third issue will be repentance, thanksgiving, and hope that we can have new steps in the future between the two churches.
If we look at Pope Francis's recent visit to the Lutheran Church here in Rome, he seemed to be suggesting that sharing together at the Eucharist is more a question of conscience than a question of the need for doctrinal clarifications. What was your reaction to that?
I think the Holy Father had said two things. First of all, I cannot give a permission for this. I have not the authority, I have not the competence. On the other side, he had show and speak with the Lord and go on. That for the Holy Father, the personal relationship with Christ is fundamental for this question. And I think that the Holy Father hope that we can arrive the full communion between Lutherans and Catholics and then also sharing of the Eucharist.
Do you expect any further developments on this issue over the coming year?
I have made the proposal of a continuation after the Common Declaration about the doctrine of justification, that we must now prepare a new declaration about Church, Eucharist and ministry. And I'm very grateful that just two countries have collaborated in this issue. The National Finnish Dialogue in Finland between Lutherans and Catholics discussed this issue. And in the United States, the Lutherans and Catholics has just published a document about Church, Eucharist and ministry. And it seems to me it will be a very, very beautiful path for the future.
If we turn towards the Orthodox world, of course, there will be a very historic pan-Orthodox synod taking place later in this spring. Will there be any Catholic observers, first of all? And how significant do you think this meeting will be for your dialogue with the Orthodox world?
I don't know that observers can be present. This is not decided by the Orthodox Church. I think on the end of January, they will decide in Constantinople this issue. I hope, first of all, is a very beautiful opportunity for the Orthodox churches, because the Orthodox churches are always, we are a synodical church, but we must see the practice. The Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew has said once, no, we must show the world that we can practice synodality. On the other side is a very beautiful opportunity also for our dialogue, because in our dialogue we have many tensions, not all between Catholics and Orthodox, but between Orthodox we have many different visions of synodality and primacy in the Church. And when the Orthodox Church can find a better unity between the Orthodox churches, that will be a great help for our dialogue. And in this sense, I hope and I pray every day that this pan-Orthodox synod can happen in the next Pentecost time.
The next major appointment on the calendar, if you like, will be your annual encounter with the Oriental Orthodox churches. What kind of developments, what kind of expectations do you have ahead of this meeting?
In the first week of February, we have the plenary of the International Mixed Commission between the Catholic Church and all the Oriental Orthodox churches in Cairo, in Egypt. And we will begin the third phase. And the main issue in this phase is the dialogue about the sacraments, above all the sacrament of initiation. And this is not an easy question, because some Oriental Orthodox churches, for instance, Copts and Ethiopians, have the practice of rebaptism. And this is a great challenge, because the baptism and the mutual recognition of baptism is the basis of the ecumenical relations. And I hope that we can have a better consensus on this issue in this plenary.